Primary Reaction Chamber.
Precopa Raymondos on or
Time.
Initial reaction at T-minus 30.
Fuel slug in place.
Stand by for injection.
Capsule breach now.
Reaction commencing.
Containment field hold to 3.14 degrees of time. Initial chambers flushing to capacity.
Can we hold it?
What's happening?
Critical mass.
Hold on! Mind spike!
Right, you're listening to Critical Mass Podcast. I'm your host, Winston Crutchfield. I'm at the Wesselman Woods Park today, and we're having a picnic-a-lunch. And I understand that even though we are having a picnic-a-lunch with a picnic-a-basket, that we are in no danger of bears. Is that right, Destiny?
Yes.
Why are we not in any danger of bears?
Because this park is away from the trees and the Wesselman Woods Park.
And we don't have the right kind of trees for bears, is that it?
And we don't have any caves or any bears that can fit in the trees.
Now, you know that bears are renowned for stealing picnic baskets and eating them. What do you think about that, Zaya? He says through a mouthful of Cheez-Its. Okay. Yes, I see the bumblebee. All right, station break.
Water. We drink it. We bathe in it. We wash our clothes in it. We need it to grow crops. We take it for granted, yet for 1.1 billion people in the world, clean water is a luxury. Unclean water threatens the lives of billions of people every day, but most of us listening to this don't know what life without clean water would be like. Something as simple as a public water fountain is an oddity to many people. We buy clean water in a bottle for $1, and that same dollar could give a person clean water for an entire year. I'm John Wilkerson, host of the Jesus Geek Podcast. Will you join me in raising funds to provide clean water to people who desperately need it? Please visit water.jesusgeek.info for more information on how you can change someone's life with just $1 a day. That's water.jesusgeek.info. Give water and give life.
Anyway, it's a nice day, and we decided to get out of the house and go run around on the playground, get some energy out. So if you can, I thought I'd take advantage of the opportunity to catch up on, you know, release another episode of the podcast. So if you hear some odd noises in the background, that's other people out on the playground. Go ahead.
Like the oily swing. It hasn't been oiled.
Yeah.
So it squeaks.
It's rusty.
Rusty.
Yeah, one of those old chain swings, and so it kind of squeaks. But anyway, we are at the playground. Please forgive the wind noise and the occasional artifacts. Think of it as ambiance. Anyway, I do have a topic for today. It's been a kind of odd, frenetic summer so far.
Bumblebee.
And I've... Yes, there's a bumblebee. He's on the drink. Okay.
Hey.
I see him.
He can have my peanut butter.
What's that?
He can have my peanut butter.
The bumblebee can have your peanut butter?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's nice of you.
Don't worry. Just like
and I've been... just don't drink the bumblebee. Got it? All right.
He thinks it's honey.
Probably he does. I've been having a little bit of trouble getting my geek on, as it were. So I'm going to talk for a little bit about the way my comic book reading habits have changed recently. And it's the culmination of a slow shift that began in 2007, I really think, when Marvel Comics decided to do their Civil War. And in the process of that story, they initiated a shift in the tone of comic books, of the new millennium age of comic books, similar to the shift that occurred in 1986 when Frank Miller released The Dark Knight. Prior to prior to that, comic books were fairly straightforward adventure stories and superheroic stories. There's that bee again. Station break.
I'm Matt York, and I'm a hero.
And I'm the Snarky Avenger, and I'm a superhero.
I fight demons and their earthly agents with my friends using only my military training and my faith.
I live in a secret base in a cave behind a waterfall, and I have a personal assistant and an AI computer.
Most people don't know who I am or what I do.
I'm famous, have lots of toys, and have superpowers like invulnerability and the power of Snark.
When it comes to most things, we're pretty different.
Yes, but no matter how much cooler being a superhero is than being a hero...
Hey.
I think what you do is cool, and I love to listen to your adventures in Archangel.
I love your show too, man. The interviews, the rants, and the reviews are great, in spite of the occasional heresy.
So there you have it, folks.
Whether you're a hero, a superhero, or just regular people,
we can all agree both Archangel and Snark Infested Waters are awesome podcasts that you should listen to. You can find Archangel at www.archangelnovel.com.
And you can find Snark Infested Waters at thesnarkyavenger.com.
Go check them out now. Hey man, you seem to have gotten the short end of the stick. Might want to find a new agent. You want my agent's number?
It's cool, man. God's got my back. But I would love a ride in the Snark Jet sometime.
Okay, where were we? After 86, and the advent of the Dark Knight, books took on a darker tone, a darker feel, and this continued into the 90s when Ghost Rider and Wolverine and... The Punisher really became popular for a gritty, hard-edged, needlessly violent tone to their stories. And that kind of tapered off with the advent. I'm going to put it towards the 93-94 with the advent of DC Comics Zero Hour, refocused their continuity, and stories began once again to take on a more straightforward adventure story. Destiny Dear, there is plenty of chicken in the basket. You do not need to pick every last scrap of meat off the bones. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Are you enjoying the picnic? The picnic lunch with us? Yeah. But, so with the advent of Zero Hour... following the death of Superman, DC Comics started a trend back towards more adventure-based stories, and that is the era of story that I have really come to appreciate, what I consider the my favorite era of comic books. And I have come to grow quite fond of the characters and the adventures that came out during that time. Grant Morrison's run on JLA, Mark Waid's run on The Flash, and the way he handled the Wally West character and the Speed Force element of that mythology. Yes, the bee is back. Don't ignore him. He won't eat much.
Trust me. He just likes all the pretty colors.
Sure he does. So we saw that. We also saw the Kyle Rayner era of Green Lantern, and some very good Batman stories. Just all kinds of good stuff. With Civil War, that began drawing to a close. They killed Captain America in a punk death, certainly not suitable for an American icon. And while I'm not so naive as to believe that such a thing is going to be permanent, the change that it heralds in the direction of DC continuity and the DC stories is one that I do not appreciate. And that really culminated for me with the J. Michael Straczynski's, the end of his run on Spider-Man, which ended with the end of the Spider-Man-Mary Jane relationship, the Peter Parker-Mary Jane marriage, ended with Peter Parker making a deal with the devil. Something I thought wholly out of character, and an absolute waste of one of the best dynamics and relationship dynamics in comic book mythology. So I pretty much jumped off the Marvel bandwagon entirely at that point, except for the Power Pack stories, which I really enjoy.
I like Spider-Man.
Everybody likes Spider-Man. Which leads me to DC. I was still buying 12-plus books a month, and that has slowly tapered off as one by one DC set about canceling all of my favorite books, including the Batman titles and the Legion of Superheroes. And the end result is I am now down to buying 3 comic books a month, and one of those is a limited series. I'm subscribed to Booster Gold, currently being written by Dan Jurgens, who's doing just a fantastic job. I subscribe to Tiny Titans, which is more of my more for my daughter's benefit than mine. It's a funny enough book, but I think she appreciates it more than I do. You want to say something?
We still need number 3.
We still need Tiny Titans number 3. Uh-huh. Tell me about Tiny Titans.
It's like kids. They're kids of the superheroes, and it's funny, like, at Robin's place, they have little penguins that wobble around. It's funny. And in one of the comics, Shazam's rabbit was in there.
Yeah, Tiny Titans is basically what if the Teen Titans were in grade school, and it's quite a funny book. But I'm also reading Strange Adventures, being written by Jim Starlin, and that's a limited series. So we'll see what happens when that is done with. But I haven't really given up on my comic book buying habits. They have taken a drastic shift in direction, though, from buying all of these monthly titles to going down to just a few. I still need my comic book fix every so often, right? You know, you can read back issues only so long. Well, that's not entirely true. I could actually start on my collection and enjoy every single one of my back issues, and by the time I was done, I would be able to go back and start reading them again. So, I don't know. There is that within the fan and the collector, which craves new stories. Destiny. Table Manners. Which craves new stories. And I have all but forsaken buying the monthly books. That's what it boils down to. Now instead of buying 12-plus issues a month, I get one or two collected editions, trade paperbacks, every month, which provides me with 6 to 8 issues per book, and a complete story. I find that I enjoy that quite a bit. Also, our library is well stocked with trade paperbacks and hardcover editions of, again, collecting story arcs of the past, and 6 to 8 issues of time of current books. This has enabled me to catch up on Green Lantern, to catch up on Blue Beetle, which is now unfortunately canceled, to read things such as Alex Ross's the limited series Justice by Alex Ross. And I discover that in most cases I am quite thankful to be able to check it out from the library, read it for free, and return it. Especially in the case of a story like Justice, where although Alex Ross has a wonderful degree of painted artistry, the story itself was not so enjoyable that I would have been pleased to have spent $75 on 3 hardcover collections. If you are done with your lunch, you may go play on the playground. Put your trash in the trash can. Over there. You want to say something?
Is the Batman Brave and the Bold still going?
Batman Brave and the Bold is a cartoon, and we're still watching that. It's still in first season. But we don't buy the comic book because it's not it's not of the same quality as the cartoon, which is unfortunate. Yes. Also, I discover that I really enjoyed Mark Waid's run on... Thank you, dear. Mark Waid's run on the Brave and the Bold comic book, speaking of Brave and the Bold, the quote-unquote serious comic book. But at the same time, I am once again thankful that I did not pick up the individual issues at $4 a piece, that I can read the collected trade, and I may or may not decide to eventually buy that one, as it was a good enough story, but not so good that I feel comfortable dropping $20 to $25 for the collected trade paperback. Anyway, and something, you know, a similar thing applies to current issues of Green Lantern. I don't appreciate Geoff Johns' work with the current Green Lantern stories. And having finally read the Sinestro Corps War, I am wholly disappointed in the way that story was handled, and the way that his characters are being treated. I find the characters in the Green Lantern books to be self-indulgent and self-absorbed, and very little attention is being played to the dynamics of plot and story structure, and Johns is focusing almost entirely on depth of characterization and... I don't know how to say allusion to historical and mythological elements, and he is doing this at the expense of plot structure, which is not good. You can focus on plot and character will almost never suffer, but when you focus on character, plot is always the first thing to go, and with the cohesiveness of a story. But that's neither here nor there. While characterization is integral to a successful story, it is certainly a secondary to the structure of the plot. That is my soapbox and bandwagon, and I'll pursue it at a later time. For right now, let's just suffice to say that I have not been buying individual issues. I have been buying one or two trade paperbacks from the comic book store, usually of titles that I know and love from creators in whom I have confidence. And more often than not, they are back issues rather than current collections. So I have been enjoying, again... stories from the 80s and 90s and early new millennium. Plus, DC and Marvel both are releasing these fantastic collected editions. Marvel's calling theirs the Showcase Edition, and DC is the Showcase, and Marvel is Essential, where they collect 20 to 25 issues of a title and bind them together in a lightweight black and white trade paperback, and for under $20. And if you don't mind reading comics in black and white, which I do not, it's a fantastic way to get just an excellent, excellent value for money. And I have been enjoying I bought the first six volumes of Spider-Man, the first two volumes of Fantastic Four, and a couple of others. I've really been enjoying stories from the 60s and 70s that come from that. Anyway, so that has been the primary shift in my comic book reading habits. And if I am an average example of an average fan, and I'm just going to assume for the sake of argument that I am, then this really doesn't bode well for the comic book industry, because the increase in my trade buying habits has not made up monetarily for the decrease in my monthly subscriptions. Not a trend that DC or Marvel or, you know, the publishing industry wishes to see widespread, I am certain. The second shift is a shift to reading comic books in digital format. I purchased an app for my iPod Touch a comic book reader, and it does quite a nice job of zooming in on the panels. It's easy to navigate, and I can still read my digitized books conveniently on my iPod. I also use Comic Rack for the PC to similar effect. And in fact, I appreciate Comic Rack quite a bit because it also offers databasing of your digital collection similar to iTunes, where you can organize, you can input information for issue and year and creator and volume and organize and sort along any number of parameters. That has been very nice. Plus, the display on the screen is convenient and can be set to mimic the display of an open facing page Dead Tree Edition. Now, while I do miss handling the paper of the comic books and holding a physical edition in my hands, the convenience and considerably smaller storage space that the digital editions have provided more than makes up for the inconvenience that I lose, for the inconvenience of having to read it on my laptop or on my desktop. So I have been pleased with the experience. The downside to that is that digital editions have been few and far between and are often very difficult to come by. I have been reduced to either digitizing my own collection, so that I have digital copies of my comic books, which is time-consuming, and or if you're plugged into a peer-to-peer network, you can hunt for digital copies of your own books along those. Or I purchased a couple of... See, the problem we're running into is that DC and Marvel do not currently support a convenient digital reader program. DC, not at all, and Marvel is only supporting it online. So that if you want to read Marvel Comics in a digital format, you pay a monthly subscription, and you can read them through a Shockwave Flash application on a specific website. It is fiddly at best, and terribly inconvenient at all times. Not an experience that I have enjoyed. Plus, the library there is subject to change, and I prefer being able to access, the same books every time I open up a library folder. Call me crazy. But when I find a story I enjoy, I like to read it several times. Now, it may be a long time between readings, but I like to know that it will be there when I come back to it. Anyway, so those are the current options. Now, Gitco had a license in like 2006 and 2007, and they used it very well, and they digitized just a whole truckload of Marvel books, and you can still find these digital DVD-ROMs of Marvel titles on the internet or occasionally in local bookstores. I picked up the past 10 years of Spider-Man, just to try it out, because it was it was cheaper than the complete Amazing Spider-Man collection by 75%. But so I picked that one up, and I have been very, very pleased with the product. The one I have is PDF, and it is a digital copy of the entire comic book, ads included, so that when I read it on my laptop or on my desktop in a facing page setup, it is like I am looking at the comic book in my hand, complete with advertisements, which for some of the older ones is kind of cool to see the nostalgia. They did a whole bunch of these for Marvel, for Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, Ghost Rider, and Hulk, and just a bunch of them. And I'll put what ones I can find in the Amazon store on the Critical Press Media site, so you can go check them out. I've been really pleased. I think it's a fantastic value for money, and I'm looking forward to acquiring more of those as rapidly as I can. So those are two options for acquiring digital comic books: digitizing your own or purchasing them on DVD-ROM. Also, I was surprised at the number of books from the Golden Age and from the Silver Age that have fallen into the public domain. And this is almost always due to the intricacies of copyright law. But among the things that I've been enjoying was the original Secret Six series, the series on which the current version is based, or rather pays homage to, because the original series was a Mission Impossible-style thing rather than using supervillains. And several issues of House of Mystery and House of Secrets, like that. I found a whole bunch of Richie Rich and Casper, books that my kids have enjoyed. Plastic Man, I'm loving the original Jack Cole run on Plastic Man. Freaking hilarious. Plus, I discovered that quite a number of Charlton and Fawcett books were public domain after those companies went out of business. Or before they, or for, somehow their, you know, their books have fallen into the public domain, which means that titles, you know, Charlton titles, heroes like The Question, The Beetle, Captain Atom, or Blue Beetle, you know, Captain Atom, their Silver Age adventures are public domain, and Fawcett, of course, published Captain Marvel, or as, you know, Desi Doo calls him, Shazam. And virtually that entire Golden Age run, all of their books are in the public domain, and I will put several links in the show notes. I'm one of those who rely on bookmarks, so I don't have the names ready to hand. But I'll put several links in the show notes to archive, you know, to internet public domain archives where they can be downloaded. Plus, I'll go ahead, and since I've the formatting on many of those titles is inconsistent, I'll go ahead and link some torrents off of my website to these public domain books so that you can have them in a consistently formatted CBR or CBZ or, you know, digital comic book file. Now, you will need a comic book reader in order to read these conveniently. It can be done just with a RAR unzip program and the JPEG viewer on that, you know, that comes with your program of choice. But C-Display is widely available, and my program of choice is Comic Rack, and both of those are free downloads, and if you enjoy them, please donate to their publishers so that they can continue to provide us with quality software. So that's really where my comic book viewing habits have gone. They've gone trade, and they've gone digital, and it doesn't look like I'm going to be going back anytime soon, unless something shifts in the landscape of the stories that are being told. It looks like I'm going to be living in back-issue world for a while, and just kind of keeping my ear to the ground as far as the creative landscape in comic book mythology, something I find very disheartening. But you know what? This is what back issues are for, yes? All right, I'm going to take a break, listen to this, and when I come back, I'm going to speak for just a few minutes. I'm going to try to keep it down on... you know what? I was going to go on with a couple of movie reviews and some television review, but I think, since I'm pushing half an hour here, I think I'm just going to call this a day. Say thanks for thanks for dropping me into your reaction chamber. Keep your reaction chamber fired. Remember, critical mass is the point at which a reaction is self-sustaining, and the reaction that we want to self-sustain is that of thinking. While I'm thinking about it, and before I forget, I'm still looking for submissions for the Well of Life anthology to benefit Living Waters International in cooperation with Jesus Geek. You can find out more about contributing to the Podcasting for Water cause over at water.jesusgeek.info. And you can find out more about contributing to the Well of Life anthology from Critical Press Media on the submissions info page over at thecriticalpressmedia.com site. So go check those out. Basically, what I am asking for are stories that are strongly themed about around water or where water plays an integral part of the plot. So if you've got a sci-fi story set on Waterworld, or if you've got your gunslinger traveling across the deserts of the Old West, seeing mirages of an oasis, or if you've got a romance set on a cruise ship on the high seas, or a mystery where the cause of death is drowning or hurricane or, you know, something like that. Use your imagination. Send me a copy, either by file attachment or in the body of an email, to mindspike@criticalpressmedia.com, and we'll see about getting you published into the Well of Life anthology. Meantime, we'll go ahead and close one more time successfully, I hope, with Keep Your Reaction Chamber Fired Up and Don't Stop Thinking.
In 2005, a crack podcasting unit was sent to prison by a kangaroo court for a crime they didn't commit. These squirrels promptly escaped from a maximum security treehouse to the Texas underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
TubeLongSquirrels.com is better than pie.